games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
The Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show is always presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. He's a past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member. This is a great week.
It is a great week. It's one of my favorite shows, right?
Yeah, mine too. There's no doubt. You know, anytime you can spread good news on a show like this, and we like to, you know, certainly promote and celebrate what goes on with the WFCA, and this is a day that we certainly can do that. 10:15 to 10:45. We're going to announce the 2020 WFCA Hall of Fame class. And Doug Sarver is in studio with us. Doug, how you doing?
Pretty good, Mike.
Yeah, it's good to see you. It's finally getting warm out.
Finally, I guess we're all 66 degrees warm.
Swiddle keeps going to Vegas to get warm. He's not going to have to go to Vegas anymore. How's the shoulder doing, Tommy, by the way?
It's doing better, getting a little better every day.
My wife was not happy with you 2 weeks
Why
ago.
Why is that?
Because you came on the air and said, yeah, I'm not supposed to drive. And I said, how are you getting home? And you said, well, I'm driving. She's like, tell Coach Swiddle that he's not supposed to be driving.
I got cleared on Monday. I knew I would be cleared. So.
Attaboy. Yeah. That's good. Hey, let me run down today's show. John Hoke, he is the WFCA Hall of Fame chairman, is going to join us here in a minute. In fact, we're reaching out to him right now. Then the retired coach at Cochran Fountain City, is it Steve Liga?
Liga
is going to be joining us, and he's being put in the hall.
He is.
Man, he's excited for sure. And then from 11 to 11:30, we got a couple of guys in the studio. We're going to cut Doug Sarver loose at 11, and we're going to be talking. We're going to switch to youth football a little bit.
Yes.
A little more discussion. And then from 11:30 to noon, we're going to talk about, is it Vices?
Vices Helmets, yes.
Yep, Vices Helmets, and big sponsor of WFCA, and doing great work with safety and helmets.
Absolutely.
Did a lot of research on them.
Highest rated helmet on the market.
So year three. 3 years in a row, they've been the highest rated. And we're going to talk with Todd Kibbe about that. And we'll do that from 11:30 to noon. I think we are now joined by John Hoke, WFCA Hall of Fame Chairman. John, how you been?
Been real good. Real good. Summer's going too quick, though.
Yeah, you know what?
What summer?
What summer? Yeah. It's not warm yet. You guys are kicking it off here in a few weeks. So, hey, I've looked at this year's class. And the guys that are inducted, and boy, there are some really good names. Congratulations on putting some really quality men into the WFC Hall of Fame, John.
Thank you, and I think our committee has just been doing a super job of really looking at them and studying them before we put them in. And I'm going to tell you what, this is in my years of all doing it when I was just helping out, and to now, this is probably the toughest class when we looked at for trying to narrow it down to a small group of quality people that are going in.
Not only, John, was it tough just based on this year's nominees, but we had so many great nominees from years past that we don't forget about.
No, we don't. We go all the way through back to 5 years, and we look at those, and I think we pull up three or four of those this year. We go along, and we push some back that got nominated this year till next year, and it's just it's amazing the quality of coaches we have out there and the things they do besides football. That's probably the most amazing.
Hey, John, can I ask you, do you guys have a set number on, we're going to put in this many this year, and then when you get to that number, then you're going to look at those guys that didn't get in next year? I mean, is there a set number, or do you guys decide that as you go?
We have kind of come up with the idea that we want to try to keep it at 10 or around 10. So we were real close, almost doing 11 this year, but we said we'll put this one as a top priority to go in next year because he was age-wise and, first time nominated. So, we definitely try to keep it 10 and have it a great quality banquet. With Dave Keel being our MC that just does an outstanding job of the banquet. And you've been there, Mike. It just gets better every year.
And you know what? And Dave Keel is good at, if when he decides he doesn't want to coach football anymore, he could go on the circuit. He was really, really good, and he kept everything moving, and he was fun and comfortable with that microphone in his hand. I'll tell you that.
Definitely, he does a super job, and this year, this past year, he added a little something to it. He went out and contacted somebody in that school and got a personal story that you don't see in the bio that you get. And he gave everybody a personal story. It really made it more meaningful.
John, could you give our listeners an idea of the process? It's a little bit more than just submitting a name to the Hall of Fame committee. There is a process. Could you describe what that is?
Yeah. Real shortly, there's an age requirement. You have to be at least 50 years old before you can get in. And you have to be nominated by a football coach to get it. And once you're nominated, then you get contacted by our WSCL secretary and sends a bunch of paperwork that you have to fill out. Once you get that paperwork filled out, she collects it all, and then she sends it to everybody. And, you know, it's great that it's a lot easier now that the computers are up compared to getting this big packet of sheets of paper that we used to get. And then each individual goes through that and comes. You know, we don't talk beforehand. They kind of just, everybody comes, we come together. And, you know, it's amazing that, you know, probably out of the 10, 8 of us all have the same person that should go in. And but it's a long discussion. And we have a meeting in June just this past week and got our members in. And it's a fun thing to do. And we got quality people like Tom's on it. And Doug Sarver, you mentioned Dan Brunner, and people up north, and so it good group of people.
Hello, Coach Hoke. Coach Sarver here.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Hey, it was my first year as a committee member in the selection process. So, it's obviously you have some candidates that are what we would call slam dunks, and then there was about three of those, and then from there it gets pretty tough. As a first-time committee guy, and it gets pretty tough to decide among the committee, and there's some pretty good candidates that are left for next year or the year after.
The form that's filled out, it's kind of unnatural because you sort of have to brag. I mean, you got to give a lot of information, like career records, conference championships, state championships, whatever. And, you know, a lot of guys have a hard time filling that out because they don't want to talk about themselves in that way. You know, they're kind of modest guys, you know, and it's, you got to kind of brag about yourself a little bit.
There's two on the first sheet that you gave me, and you gave me a sheet that's about 6 pages long. Two of those guys, I think probably that I know fairly well, really had a hard time with that. And when we get to this, guys that know these guys are going to know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But two of those guys, I'm sure it was painful for them. Yeah. And so I agree with that. Hey, can I ask, who makes the call to these guys?
I do. I made a call. It's amazing. Unbelievable this year. I called one of the individuals, and I didn't get him. He called me back, and he says, "What do you need?" And I don't want to say any names. And he says, I go, and he says, "I can't believe it." He's excited as heck. He's in Canada, out in the lake fishing.
That's perfect.
The other one was fishing up north in Wisconsin. He was just getting in his boat. Great. And another one I caught right before they were going to Germany for 2 weeks. And I've caught somebody walking on trails out in the Rocky Mountains, and it's amazing. But it makes their day. It's probably the highlight of my selection process is contacting people.
Yeah, that would be, I'd like to be that guy making those calls. We're talking to John Hoke. He is the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame chairman. And the next two segments, Doug Sarver is in studio, Tom Swiddle, they're going to announce the 2020 WFC Hall of Fame class and the guys that are going to be inducted into that class. Hey, John, do you get calls ever from guys that don't make it to ask why?
I know. Honestly, we don't. We get calls mainly from somebody and said, you know, I nominated him this year. Just wondering where the process is, and we tell them, and that's about it. But more importantly, we probably get calls, hey, before we select somebody, hey, this guy really needs to go in, kind of giving him the last-minute call or verification that this guy's a good kid or a good
guy
to put
yeah.
in the Hall of Fame.
John, in my role as president the last few years, you know, every once in a while I'll get approached from somebody about nomination process and does this guy deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? What do you think? Those types of things, the questions, whether or not that's a good candidate, those types of things we get. But I don't think we've ever received anything that, I don't know if Tom has or not, but about why he didn't get in.
Well, what I've gotten is, you know, if they didn't get in a year they were nominated, what else do I have to do? Do I have to resubmit anything? Which
right.
they don't. I mean, we have all that stuff in this huge book, and, you know, we all have copies of everything. But that's about the only question I've ever gotten.
Hey, John, go ahead.
You know that after 5 years, when they kind of go off the book, we all contact them and say that your five-year limit, please resubmit. We go from there.
That's great. Hey, John, we're going to cut you loose because I don't want these next two segments to go short. I want to give us as much time as we can. John, thank you for the time and the passion that you have as the chairman of the Hall of Fame, and really great job in this year's class. So thank you.
Thank you very much, and it's a great radio show. Love to wish I could understand how my wife gets it on the phone. So
you know what? You hang on to her. That's all you need to know. This John Hoke, thank you very much. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Tom Swiddle, Doug Sarver, they're going to announce the 2020 WFCA Hall of Fame class. And these guys, it's a really good list. So stick around for that. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Oh, welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. He's my co-host and our special guest, Doug Sarver, in studio. As these guys go ahead and announce this year's class, 2020 WFCA Hall of Fame class, the coaches that got in. And I'm going to just turn it over to you boys.
Thanks, Mike. And Mike, we should say from the start, there are three categories in this process. There's head coaches. There's coaches that will go in as a head coach assistant, meaning that they've probably had equal time at both.
Yep.
And then we have coaches that go in as an assistant. And we're going to start today with the head coaches going in. And Doug kind of mentioned before that there were some slam dunks, and boy, are there ever some slam dunks here. So the first coach going into the class of 2020 WFCA Hall of Fame is Kirk DeNoyer from Wisconsin Lutheran. Now, look at this resume, Mike. 20 years as a head coach. He has won 196 games, 5 state championships, 3 state runners-up, 20 playoff appearances. So almost, you know, half of his tenure, they made the state finals, if you can
right.
grasp that, and 15 conference championships.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, and you know, Kirk had one of the most dynamic offenses with that Veer offense that he ran, and just a tremendous, tremendous addition.
Yeah, unfortunately, we would get bumped up to D3 and would see this Wisconsin Lutheran program up close and personal
yeah.
a few times.
Yeah.
And a few times when they went on and won the state championship. Kirk has just done an outstanding job at Wisconsin Lutheran, and I know they miss him.
He's one of the two guys on this first sheet that I know he had a hard time filling that thing out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He's not a self-promoter
no.
at all.
Not at all. In fact, I saw him the last couple of years because he was coaching basketball at up at Lakeside Lutheran, and sorry to say that they had to come play us at Martin Luther the last 2 years, and he's no longer going to be coaching basketball there. And he did a great job with the basketball program as well. He's a good man.
He is.
Okay, our next candidate that made the Hall of Fame is Joe Labuda from Menominee High School. Joe is a 30 years as head coach, 306-56 record, 5 state championships, 2 runners-up, 23 conference championships, 29 playoff appearances.
Man.
Coach of the year 8 times at the district level, 2 times at the state level. Again, another slam dunk in Joe Labuda at Menominee High School.
Yeah, that was a short putt right there, right?
Yeah.
That was about a 1-foot putt
right.
to tap that one in the cup. He's been really kind to give us time on this show and for Around the Corner. We were up there, and he was just phenomenal to work with, wanting to promote his program, and certainly well-deserved.
Yeah, you know, and Joe came from Florida, you know, so he was sort of new to this whole thing. And, boy, he just took Menominee High School and just took off with them. Our next inductee is Steve Rux from Waukesha West High School. Now, what's interesting here is Steve's father is also in the Hall of
Fame. That's
awesome. Longtime coach at Oconomowoc with great success there. But Steve has been the head coach at Waukesha West for 19 years. He has 158 wins. He has won 2 state championships, 2 state runners-up, you know, 4 conference championships in the very tough Classic 8, you know, which many, you know, people believe is the best football conference in the state. 3 times he's been the district coach of the year, 5 times Classic 8 coach of the year. Think about all the other head coaches in that league.
Man.
You know, to win that award 5 times is incredible. He's coached in 2 All-Star games. And if you look at over the last 6 years, his team has averaged being in the state semifinals every year. Every year.
And look, I think people like that are sitting in the studio would also say, on the high school level, maybe one of the best offensive line coaches in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy. And he's the second guy in this first sheet that I said that had to be. That just isn't him
right.
to fill that out. So, you know what, good for Steve Russ.
You know, you kind of measure your program against programs like Waukesha West. You know, when I was at right. Brookfield East, you know, I came in, we had non-conference games already set up, which at that time everybody wanted to play Brookfield East because they couldn't win a game in football. But by the third year, so our third year that we were there at Brookfield East, we had an opportunity to, you know, step up, if you will, in non-conference games, and it just worked out. You know, I wanted to test our program against Waukesha West, who's, you know, defending state champion and all of that. So, you know, Steve has built a program that people want to test.
You bet.
Know, are we to their level?
I would agree.
Excellent. Our next inductee?
Next inductee is Dan St. Arnold of Niagara High School. He is currently the coach at Iron Mountain Michigan High School. 29 years as head coach, 41 years altogether, 180 wins, 7 conference championships, 21 years in the playoffs, district coach of the year twice. Also, I know that Dan has his son Brett in this profession also. He's the head coach now at Mount Horeb High School.
Man, it's a family affair. And he's been doing this a long time. And for, you know what, for him to get in, and he's coaching in Michigan, but for him to be put in the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame, really well-deserved
yeah.
with those numbers.
Well, I'm sure he's probably still living in Niagara. I mean,
yeah,
Iron
it's right
Mountain
there.
High School is probably 10 minutes away from Niagara. But yeah, he just crosses the border there. But just what a career, you know, 41 years in the profession. Man.
Hey, so those are the 4 that went in as head coaches. And now we've got a number, and we've got some time to keep going. So let's do that combination head coach and assistant coach.
Yeah, and the first one that went in this category is Steve Liga from Cochran Fountain City High School. Steve was the head coach there, and he's retired now. But he was the head coach there for 25 years, 11 years as an assistant, 131 wins as a head coach, 3 conference championships, 15 years in the playoffs, and when he was an assistant coach, he was a defensive coordinator and he was at different schools, but he was the defensive coordinator as an assistant for 10 of those years. He's 3 times district coach of the year, and something else that you know has to be mentioned besides his coaching prowess is the fact that you know, he's been a WFCA district rep for 17 years and just very active in the WFCA. Basically, will do whatever we ask him to do. If, you know, Steve, could you take tickets at the All-Star game? He'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, he was with me on the WFCA grant committee and a very active person in that role. So just another very, very deserving man and just a great career and, again, has done so much for the WFCA.
You know, and he's going to join us at 10:45. We're going to reach out to him and get his feelings on being inducted in the Hall of Fame.
And I can just add to that that I, being the chairman of the All-Star game, I've worked with Steve now three times. He'll be an assistant coach this summer. He's also been a head coach and an assistant before. So he's a great guy and very active.
Well, I'll tell you, so far, so good, guys. I mean, this is you talk about the amount of wins and the amount of time they've put in to the game of high school football, and you can't go wrong with any of these. We've got time for two more here, Tom.
Okay, the next selection is Scott Stotts of Platteville and Lodi. 20 years as a head coach, 9 years as an assistant, 128 wins as a head coach, 65 as an assistant, 5 conference championships as a head coach, 16 years in the playoffs, 23 overall, 3 times district coach of the year, and has coached in the All-Star game twice.
So, again, you look at these resumes, the guys that we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Is he at Lodi now?
No, he was at Platteville in his last stop.
Right.
I got to know Scott because he coached in the All-Star game. We recruited him, actually, to coach in the All-Star game his first time. So he has done a great job over there. I don't think he's coaching anymore. I think he's stepped down.
Yeah.
Good for him to be getting in.
So now, Mike, we're in the assistant coaches category.
Correct.
And we do have time to get at least one name read. And we're going to start with Tom Fugate from Homestead High School.
That's a great choice.
It is. Now, think about this. All the success that Homestead has had in football, Tom is the first assistant coach from Homestead to get into the Hall of Fame.
And really?
Yeah, and there's going to be more, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but and when you talk to Dave Keel about Tom, you get nothing but, you know, praise. He's been such a big part of their success at Homestead. 26 years an assistant at Homestead. He's a part of 273 wins over those 26 years. 6 state championships, 1 runners-up, 22 playoff appearances, 21 conference championships. You know, and like most of our guys, Mike, you know, when you look at the complete resume, we're really just talking about, you know, their coaching career. But, you know, Tom is like a lot of guys that get in. When I looked at the list of teacher and educator awards that he has won,
yeah,
you know, just, you know, doing that part of it, that part of his job, you know, amazing. There probably were 7 or 8 of those kinds of awards at the local and state level.
Boy,
and as I mentioned, you know, the first Homestead assistant to be honored in the Hall of Fame. And
Dave will have some fun with the introductions with him because I'm sure he'll have an insider two story that he'll bring in. Let's, if we can, and we'll go kind of quickly, but let's get one more assistant coach if we can.
Okay, the next selection is Paul Martin of Wanakee High School. He's assistant at Wanakee from 1992 through 2016. Coached the O-line and D-line. He actually was one of Pat Rice's very highly regarded coaches, part of 5 state champions, 3 state runner-ups, 13 state semifinalists, 16 conference championships, 21 playoffs, state's longest winning streak at 48 games, 251 wins, state assistant coach of the year, along with numerous other coach of the year awards. Paul Martin of Wanakee High School, very well deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey, those numbers were that took up half the page there. You know, good for him. And Wanakee obviously is one of those programs that people put up on a pedestal, and rightfully so. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue. We are announcing the 2020 WFCA Hall of Fame inductees, and we'll continue and finish that on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, as always presented by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle and Doug Sarver. Let's get right to it. Second part, we are introducing and talking a little bit about the guys that are being inducted in the 2020 WFCA Hall of Fame. Tom?
So we're still in the assistant coach category, and the next person we'd like to announce is Bernie Schmidt from Cudahy High School. Bernie was an assistant coach at Cudahy for 21 years. He coached both the offensive and defensive line. Yes, there was a time when people used to coach both sides of the ball, Mike.
Yeah, that's awesome. Not anymore. But.
Yeah. But, you know, some of the things that he did there that I think are really important to football, he helped co-founded the Cudahy Football Clinic. Now, at one time, the Cudahy Football Clinic, besides other than the WFCA clinic, which was the biggest, was the best clinic in the state.
The best.
And yep. I can't even tell you all of the headliners that I saw there, you know, through the years of going to that clinic, including like guys like Tom Osborne from Nebraska would come in and speak at that clinic.
Big name guys over the years at that
And it
thing.
Was just packed. But anyway, Bernie was one of the co-founders of that. Bernie was a part of 132 wins, a part of 5 conference championships, 5 playoff appearances. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but when Bernie coached, you had to be a conference champion to get into the playoff. Now you just need a 500 record in conference to get in. Back then, only conference champions went. And then, I think a very, I'll call it famous football camp that he founded was the Cudahy Linemen's Football Camp. And, I mean, a lot of guys went to that camp, schools from all over.
Hey, guys, what people don't understand is how strong Cudahy football was back in the day.
Oh, my.
It was, man. That was a program that people put up on a pedestal, and they had some unbelievable players come through that program.
Well, growing up next door to Cudahy, obviously, in St. Francis, and got to know a lot of these guys quite well. This is going to be a very popular pick. There was quite a few supporters for this pick that would call the WFCA or send a letter, including Hall of Famers that coached at Cudahy or other schools, including Jeff Trickey, Kerry Vinay, Jeff Cavanaugh, and Clayton Lind. All of those guys were assistants for Jerry Bowe, who was the longtime head coach at Cudahy High School, also another Hall of Famer. And if you even go back further than that, Ed Kukar is in the Hall of Fame. So it goes back.
That's
quite a history.
That's quite a tree you just talked about. Those are some unbelievable coaches.
I'm telling you, Mike, one of the biggest wins I've ever had as a head coach is in 95. We went to Cudahy. This was the year after they won state. And second last game of the year, we beat Cudahy 14-7 for the conference championship. We were undefeated that year. And that was like the biggest win that Tulsa East had in many, many years, was to go down to Cudahy
and beat them. Yeah, at Cudahy. And that was always a tough place to play back then.
Yeah.
You know, that no doubt. So, you know what, Bernie Schmidt, congratulations. That's a really good choice on your part, guys, to put him in, and well-deserved.
Next selection is Mark Tron, Elk Mound High School. 31 years as an assistant, 212 wins during those 31 years, 13 conference championships, 24 playoff appearances, 3 state runner-ups. One district coach of the year was the AFLAC National Assistant of the Year, 10 years as a WFCA district rep. He's also someone that has helped with the All-Star game for several years and put a lot of time and effort into helping the WFCA.
Boy, that's, you know, when you say about the guys that help for the All-Star game, you know where their heart is at on that thing. Because it's all about nowadays raising money for Children's Hospital, but giving back and making sure that these student athletes have a good experience for the All-Star game. So good for Mark. Well done with that.
And now, Mike, we're going to get into a different category. We have another category that's just other awards. So
yep.
We honor individuals who have really made a contribution to football in the state of Wisconsin, and you being one of the former award winners, you know what this is all about and what they have to look forward to.
I still think of that day a lot, by the way, and I still get people talking to me about it because I was trying to hurry you guys up because I want to get to a break, and you know, I always tell people there's no crying on this show. Well, I had to get to a break that day, by the way.
I remember that.
This
very
is a
well.
Really good pick for you guys for the Dave McLean Award.
Yeah, the Dave McLean Award winner this year is Brad Arnett from Next Level. You know, first of all, Next Level is a partner with the WFCA in the Combine, as you know, because we broadcast live from that every year. He's the owner and director of sports performance at Next Level. You know, and their involvement in the Combine, you know, gives it immediate credibility.
Immediately.
Yep. You know, and that's the one thing, you know, our kids that go to that Combine, the numbers mean something because Brad Arnett and his crew are the ones that are getting those numbers. You know, so there's validity to that. Now, he's been involved with working with athletes of all ages for over 20 years. And just listen to some of the, you know, the individuals from, you know, professional sports that he's worked with. He's worked with NFL players, NBA players, Major League Baseball, NHL, PGA, LPGA, the UFC, and Olympic athletes. I mean, Brad has and his staff, they've trained everyone.
Other than that, what's he done?
I know.
If you don't get sarcasm, that's sarcasm. Right.
You know, I was there one time, and they were doing something on Alec James before the draft, and I did something for Spectrum Sports. Anyway, when I was there, off here we had like five or six NFL guys working out. Across the way was one of Duke Rufus's fighters, an MMA guy. It was just like the who's who of athletes in the area was at Next Level that day.
Boy, good for him and really well-deserved.
I know that I had an athlete go out and work out there one year. He comes back to me and he says, Coach, J.J. Watt was working out right next to me. I mean, those are some of the players that have been in that place.
Well, that's where my son trains now in the summer. He's at Next Level and he loves it. And he says it's the best training he's ever had.
We got about 3 minutes, guys. We got two more people going in, different awards if we can go.
Okay, the next award is the Margie and Dick Rundle Positive Influence of Coaching Award. This year's winner for that award is Chuck Rakovich of Chippewa Falls High School. Chuck is well known at both the coach and as humanitarian. Chuck and his players have been involved in numerous service projects. This would include a military recognition night, a clothing and shoes drive, heard his team work with the homeless, instituted a program where any player who wants to be a football captain must complete an activity that attempts to bring the school and the community together. The plan must be written and presented to Coach Rakovich for his approval. Also has to do a past activity write-up. Chuck had 10 captains last year because of this program.
Imagine having 10 guys who took the time and effort to do that.
Right.
I mean, he's your kind of guy. I mean, I know you.
Yeah.
And that's you.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had 10 kids that were willing to go through, he's not just handing you the captain's sleeve and say, you be the captain.
Right.
You go to work for it. Show me what you can do, what you can give back to the school community and this team.
He's also a very good football coach and been there a long time.
He's won a lot of games.
He's also in the Hall of Fame.
Man, that's awesome.
Then finally, Mike, we have two individuals that are going into the National High School Athletic Coaches Association Hall of Fame. So we can nominate two every year from the state of Wisconsin, and we always choose a coach from the north and a coach from the south. So our two inductees this year into the NHSACA Hall of Fame are Dave Keel from Homestead and Bill Turnquist from West De Pere. You know, obviously giants, you know,
giants.
The coaching category here in Wisconsin. Everybody knows, you know, we've talked already about the Homestead situation with Tom Fugate, but Bill Turnquist, 45 years as a head coach, you know, over 50 years overall as a coach, 3 straight trips to the WIA state championship, you know, and he's still coaching at Bayport.
Man, and Dave Keel.
Right.
You know, when you talked about Chuck before and the servant leadership that he believes, that's got Dave written all over it. And when we went out to do Around the Corner with him and I wanted to talk about him, and he said, absolutely not. This isn't, you know, this is what we do. The seniors serve the juniors, sophomores, and freshmen. That's why our program is good. I got great staff. I got really good parents, really good administrators. And that's got Dave written all over it. Really, congratulations to Dave Keel on that. This is as good a list as you've had.
I agree.
You would agree with that, right?
I agree, absolutely.
There's nobody. Nobody can cherry pick. I don't think anybody from this list and say, you sure on that one? Because every one of these guys is a slam dunk. So congratulations to you and to John Hoak for making just a phenomenal decision. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk to one of these guys. We're going to talk to Steve Lega.
Steve Lega.
Right. I'm bad with last names, Tommy. Steve Lega. He is going into the 2020 Hall of Fame, and we will talk to him on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Well, welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. He's past president, WFCA Hall of Fame member, and Doug Sarver. We've reached out to one of these winners.
Yes, we have.
And we just want to talk to Steve Lega, who is a retired coach from Cochran Fountain City. Coach, congratulations, 2020 inductee into the WFCA Hall of Fame. And just wondering how you're feeling about all this.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I'm pretty humbled. I'm certainly honored to be part of such a great organization, you know, that recognizes individuals.
Yeah, we went through all of all the stats with you, and certainly well deserved, coach, and what a great night that will be for you and your family.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be something new in my life and just something a way to, you know, perhaps end my career. But now my son just got the offensive coordinator position over by Hayfield by Rochester, Minnesota. So he's kind of asking me to sit in a crow's nest, so I don't think I'm retired yet.
take it from a guy who tried to retire, okay, Steve, you'll never get that out of your system at all. You know, Steve, our first guest this morning was John Hoak, Hall of Fame chairman, and we asked him what's the neatest part of the process for him, and he said it was calling the individuals and letting them know about their Hall of Fame induction. So I have to ask you, where were you? What were you doing when John Hoak gave you the call?
Oh, I'm actually a head softball coach as well, and I was coming back from I was at the All-Star game, the softball game down in Wisconsin Dells. So, you know, I got up and did a little bit of a dance on it, you know, right in front of people. I don't care. I'm not that embarrassed about it. So I just got up and had fun, and, you know, it was really appreciated. I got it from John because, you know, way back in the day, I played football against John back in, you know, it'd be the 70s, I'm guessing, mid-70s. So that's quite the phone call.
Hey, Steve, Doug Sarver here. Still have one more game for sure to coach this summer, don't you?
Yeah, I'll be coaching my third time coaching in the All-Star game here for the Division 4-7 South. That'll be an exciting time for me again. I know I've been there before, but it's always exciting working with some of the best athletes in the state of Wisconsin.
Man, that's awesome. Hey, when you said that you did a little dance at the softball game, do you have any rhythm, coach? I don't know many football coaches that have much rhythm.
Oh, I practice this every time the Packers score. So I always
you didn't
do
get
that.
Much practice yeah, last year, though.
I do. It's fun.
Yeah, not a lot of practice
last year. Not a lot of practice
year.
Last year, last year's season that they had. Hey, Steve, as you reflect, you know, 25 years as a head coach, 11 years as an assistant. When you take a look at, you know, all the individuals that you've had the opportunity to work with, perhaps people that have been mentors for you, you know, who are some of the individuals that stand out for you?
Well, you know, the individuals in the WFCA, certainly, you know, with Tom Swiddle and John Hoak, Dan Bruner, Doug Sarver, Tony Barolo. I mean, guys that gave me an opportunity to actually push my leadership skills, you know, to advance them. I thought that's a pretty neat thing. I've got a lot of players who have came back and coached for me. But I think the biggest part of being a coach in any sport, but especially football, is the opportunity to develop young boys into men and to see what type of lives they come up with. And if they can become good husbands, good fathers, that's my greatest accomplishment, I think.
What's the biggest game that you ever won, Steve? What game just stands out? You know, was it a playoff game, a conference game? What is the biggest game for you?
Play playoff game against Hillsborough a couple of years back where we just came on and we gave a clinic, you know, a passing clinic. We came out and we threw for, you know, dang near 500 yards, and we were seated lower than them. And it just came out, and we just kind of controlled that game, and we had a lot of fun just tossing the ball around and you know, reading the defense and seeing what they were going to give us. I mean, every game of football is a chess game. It's a game of chess, but the Hillsborough game, that one really stands out because it was so much fun. Actually, there was another game, too. We lost the game. We were no huddle wishbone, and so was Viroqua back I guess it would have been in the 90s, and we lost 66-55.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Steve, you've had the opportunity to coach your son. You want to reflect on that, being able to coach your son through being head coach?
Yeah, I had two sons play for me, and both of them played in the All-Star game. Tanner is a graduate of UW lacrosse in sports management, and then Parker is going to be a teacher at Hayfield, Minnesota. So it was a lot of fun working with them. It provided them a great experience in life, and they keep up with those guys that they played with in the All-Star game. And it's just a neat environment for those young men to do that, and especially coaching my sons that came out and did a great job for me and are still doing a great job.
I'll tell you, Steve, that is, you know, having coached, and Doug has too, but having coached twice in the All-Star game as a head coach and you get close to those guys. We went to the Brewer game last night, my family, and my son says to me, "Hey, Dad, Sam Reitz is here." You know, we go to a Brewer game, he's on his phone, you know, another guy from the All-Star game in 2016. You know, every time we go, there's TC finds somebody from the All-Star game to talk to at a Brewer game, and you know, they've already planned a reunion. I'm sure you've done a few of those with your All-Star players.
Yeah, these guys, I mean, they keep up. Nice thing about Facebook is we keep up that way and see what's going on in their lives. And I know we only had basically a week to try to make a difference and try to develop a relationship with these young men that came from all over the, you know, for me, it was the southern half of Wisconsin because I was with the All-Star South. But I mean, the difference that you can make, and you could just have fun learning from people that you just don't know where they're from. You don't know about their little schools and stuff like that. But it's certainly an opportunity to grow and to develop for all of these kids, and as well as us coaches. You know, I certainly would tell every coach to put their name in the hat to coach in that All-Star game, because it's just a neat experience. It's phenomenal.
No doubt. We talk about it a lot on this show, and we're going to talk about it in a couple of weeks again, because we just there's so much more than that game. You know, there's so much more that goes on that week other than just the game. Steve, congratulations. 2020 WSCA Hall of Fame, and really well-deserved. And enjoy that night. Make sure that you get a lot of people up there and really soak that in and enjoy the whole thing.
Yep, I think I'm going to enjoy it now. It's a little bit more real today. You told me to get a bottle of champagne and celebrate, but I was, you know, coming back from All-Star game. It will happen tonight. So
hey,
thank you so much for that.
Hey, Steve, no dancing up there, though. It's not allowed, just so you know.
I always got to dance. Yeah. I mean, that's just part of me. But it's a great organization to be part of, and I'm proud of the organization and proud of them giving me a chance to lead. That's pretty much a given on this.
Steve Liga, again, congratulations. Cochran Fountain City football coach going into the Hall of Fame. Have a good weekend, sir.
You betcha. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, let's get to a break. Hey, Doug, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's really good to see you again. Great job on this, and I'm sure we'll talk to you before the All-Star game coming up.
See you in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
It's a Hour two of the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show is always presented, Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. He's the past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member. Boy, that was a good group. What a great hour that was for those guys, man.
Well, and to be a part of the process and know all that goes into it, and then the result of, you know, like Steve Liga, just the joy of being honored like that.
For him
just,
to dance at a softball game, that's pretty good. Hey, Sparky had called during the break, and he's got some ideas for us next year that we got to talk about. Maybe making this announcement a little bit bigger. I'm going to talk to you about it during the break, but I think there's something there. And he's listening right now, and he said, boy, this could be a really big event for our radio station and for the WFCA if done correctly.
I'd love to hear Sparky's ideas.
He thinks outside the box, man. He's a really smart man when it comes to this stuff. Hey, we're going to transition more into youth football. And we had we talked to youth football, a month and a half ago, something like that. And we wanted to bring two guys in studio. One is Ed Easley. He's with, it's called SWAG. It's Students with Academic Greatness. Is in studio with us, along with Evan Kern. He's the Chief Executive Officer for the Neighborhood Children's Sports League. And they're both in studio, and we're going to talk a little bit about youth football in the area of mostly the city of Milwaukee, I believe. Ed, thank you so much for coming in. How long have you been with SWAG, and is this something that you started?
Thank you, yes. SWAG been in existence for the past 12, 13 years.
Okay.
The past 3 years, we transitioned from basketball to football. So for the past 3 years, we've been running the league. Before then, I was running the league for the Quadravia Hennessy Sports League.
Okay.
That basically took over the league once the league had ended to keep the football alive and well in Milwaukee.
Where do you guys play?
Hampton Field, 5000 North 53rd Street.
Okay. And the league, is it healthy right now? Do you have enough kids playing? Could you use more kids?
We can always use more kids, but right now we are healthy. We have about 300 athletes right now that's registering for our season this year. Has been for the past three since we've been in existence.
And what age kids?
Ages 6 to 14.
Okay, 6 to 14, those little six-year-olds running around. Is that flag football at that age?
Actually, it's still tackle. We have a focus on safety and education with our athletes as well as our coaches and parents, which helped us make sure that everyone understands true nature of football and how to make it safer.
Excellent. Evan Kern, again, he is the Chief Executive Officer for the NCSL, which is Neighborhood Children's Sports League. Hey, how long have you been involved with that, Evan?
I've been back coaching. I've been back with the league for probably 7 years.
Okay.
7 years, but I grew up playing in this league. I've always come back and helped out with this league.
Good for you.
After college, I've been back ever since.
Where do you guys play?
We play at Lincoln Park.
Okay, and healthy? A lot of kids playing?
Very, very healthy this year. I think we'll see an increase in numbers. I think we'll go from probably about 350 to about 550 this year.
Wow, that's huge.
Yep.
That's big. Do you guys, and I'll start with you, Evan. So I do the high school football coaches show as well, and we talk about the city conference, and you know, you start with Riverside and King because those two programs are really strong, and then Marshall a couple years ago is pretty good, Bayview a couple years ago is pretty good, but there's not the consistency that you see in other leagues. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I think that's something that we've been looking at as a league, and I've been trying to connect with other coaches to see kind of what their view is as well. But I know at the youth level, we seem to have some products, you know, at that level, 7th and 8th grade.
Sure.
Guys that look like they're ready to go to high school, but for some reason in following up, guys haven't been locking into the team. So there's talent in the hallways. It's just trying to figure out why they're not on the field.
You know, last fall, I was coaching Tech, and I spent every Saturday that I wasn't going up to Michigan Tech to watch TC play, I spent every Saturday going to youth games in the city of Milwaukee. So I was at Hampton Park, I was at Lincoln, I was at Custer, I was at Journey House Field, I was, everywhere. And just amazed at the enthusiasm, the numbers. You know, you go to Hampton Park, for instance, on game day on a Saturday, it is packed with people. There's two fields side by side that, you know, have games going, concession stands, very good concessions, by the way, I will say, you know. And I went to the Evans All-Star Games at Custer Stadium, and that was at the beginning of November, I think, or maybe end of October, whatever it was. And again, just so impressed by everything that's going on. And I agree with Evan in that there is a lot of talent in the city of Milwaukee. And I see coaches in the city of Milwaukee that are working really hard and parents that are really supportive of football.
So I guess the follow-up question, and I know we talk, you know, we normally throw softballs at each other during the segment, but or during the show, but where is it dropping off then? If I struggle, and I get yelled at a little bit from guys in the city saying, how come you don't promote and celebrate what we're doing more? And it's come playoff time, it's hard. It's hard because we don't have a lot of city teams that are moving on into the playoffs. And some people have said, look, maybe what should happen is like down in Chicago where they have a city conference championship. And I don't think that's fair. Bill Mulberry didn't think that was fair. These kids have earned the right to play in the WIA.
Right. And Wade Lebecki at the WIA would say the same thing.
Right.
You know, that the city school should be in the playoffs.
But if look, in the three guys that I'm talking to right now are really impressed, and the numbers they're talking about are huge. The talent level is good. The enthusiasm is good. The coaches and parents are excited at the early ages. Does it not transition into the high school?
I think it's difficult. Now, for me to act like I'm an expert, I'm not.
Right.
I coached 1 year in the city, you know, and, you know,
We've got two experts here, too.
Right,
so you,
right.
But go ahead. I'm
but
sorry.
I'm just saying, I think where it falls off is at the high school level. I don't know that the city develops kids the way they should be developed. There isn't the support, I'll call it, in the school many times. You know, obviously Riverside has support and King has support, and Reagan's doing a great job.
Yes,
and Hamilton had a really good team last year. But I just know that for most situations, in my situation at Tech, there's you're sort of on your own, you know, to make it happen.
Evan, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Marquette High School.
Okay. Different animal than what we're talking about. What would you say to a guy like me that says, look, why isn't football in the city conference better than it is?
I think you have to look at, I mean, there's several factors. I think one of the things that I've noticed recently is that some of our parents are very last minute in finding out what high school processes are, getting to open houses, understanding what that entire process is like. So a lot of times they're committing to schools very late, last minute, where we may not have relationship with those coaches. And so I think it goes to relationships and having relationships with the coaches at all of the high schools so we can have a smooth transition. So some of these kids, I mean, we've been working with since they were 6 years old. So to have a relationship with the high school that they go to, I think would also make a difference too.
Edward, same question for you.
You know, I think trying to figure out how to connect the high schools with the youth league, I think that's the missing piece that we're missing right now. Trying to get, you know, schools like Milwaukee Tech, Washington, to invest in the youth football league so that those leagues can have the right resources, training for coaches to make sure that players are prepared for that next level. And I think that's where the drop-off is happening.
You know, that's a great point, because when you look at Brookfield East, they have their junior program, and you look at Brook Central and they have their junior program, and you look at some of these schools that we're talking about, they have a specific feeder program right into the high school, and they're running the stuff that the high school coach is running. So they walk in as freshmen, they know each other, they've played together, and they're running the system. In the city, Bayview used to have the Red Cats, and I don't know if they still – I know it's still going on, but I don't know if that's a straight feeder program for Bayview or not. But these schools got to come to your leagues and say, okay, what kids are going to Tech or what kids are going to Riverside? And when you look and you talk about King and you talk about Riverside, those two guys have been working these leagues for a long time. I mean, you see Patrick, I'm sure, all the time, right? You see the coach with King all the time. At your leagues, and those guys now know everybody. One of the problems is the turnover in coaches in the city is quite high, and I would assume that you think that that would that would help if guys would stick around.
Yeah, we need the relationships. We need the relationships to continue. If that's a smooth transition for players, which, I mean, for younger guys, there's a lot going on at that time, too. I mean, 14, 15-year-olds, you know, their world is kind of changing. And so to not have a constant ear, constant voice for them to listen to about the football direction, I think it makes a big difference.
And you know what, Tom, and I know that I'm not going to lead you down the path that we shouldn't go to, but you would also agree with me that it starts at the top, in at the school. The administration in some of the schools, sports is not a priority, and they don't. It's just not. And so it's about getting kids in the school and educating them. But one of the pieces of that, and I think everybody in this room will agree, to get them in school and keep them, you know, interested, motivated, is sports.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to give a coach keys for things and stuff like that, all these stories I've heard, it's hard.
You're completely on your own. Here was my experience. You're completely on your own, expected to do everything by yourself with absolutely no resources to work with. You know, that's the reality that I faced at Tech. You know, and that's just the way it is there, I guess. You know, and that isn't even the reason why I left.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was another reason, but you know, I mean, I was coming back. You know, but you know, you're right. It starts at the top. You have to invest something. You got to make sure the lockers work in the locker room and the equipment shed door can actually open so you can get your equipment
just
out. And
basic things.
I know. It's just those things just fall by the wayside.
And guys, you know who we're hurting the most with this? Is the student athletes. Mm-hmm. The guys that you're working with, the kids that you're working with from, you know, the age of 6 that could have a great experience playing high school football and maybe playing at the next level are walking in going, "Wait, what's going on?" I'm not going to be able to.
They had an open house in October at Tech. I didn't even know about it. So there's 8th graders in the building. I'm there. I'm at practice, you know. And I didn't even know there was an open house going. Like the word, so football was not even present there. Nobody even bothered to tell me about the night, you know?
Yeah, that's
the kind of thing that's holding things back.
And
but it's not like that at every school, obviously.
No, it's not.
You know?
But here's the tough part for guys like you that put in all this sweat equity into your programs and all the things that you do for these kids until they get through 8th grade. And the lessons that you teach them through the game of football sometimes get hit by a roadblock, and to the point that, look, we know this because I've coached basketball for a long time. It doesn't have to be easy for these kids, but it has to be a path that they could see. Okay, I need to get decent grades, and I have practice today at 4:30. So between class and basketball, I can hit the library. I got a teacher I got to see, or I can go grab something to eat. But here it is. Boom, boom, boom. And then when they need help, that we're here to help. But it has to come from the top as well. We're going to keep you guys for another segment if we can. Ed Easley, he is with Students with Academic Greatness. And Evan Kern, the CEO of Neighborhood Children's Sports League. And we're going to continue to talk about youth sports in the city with these guys. This is the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Well, welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show and the Dr. Phil show all lined up with one. Oh, man. Sorry, guys. I get on the soapbox. I've lived in Milwaukee my whole life. Never anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I do get worked up. I get yelled at a little bit for that, but that's all right. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. We're talking some youth football from the city of Milwaukee. Ed Easley with Students with Academic Greatness and Swag. He's got a swag shirt on right now. It looks good. And Evan Kern, Chief Executive Officer for Neighborhood Children's Sport League. Let's start, Ed, with you. If we can talk a little bit about the mission statement behind Students with Academic Greatness. What are you guys trying to accomplish, and talk a little bit about your league?
Okay, well, our mission is developing leadership and character development through college readiness through athletics. We're big on education. We feel that when the coaches, players, parents are more educated, it makes for a better product. So we spend a lot of resources and time on education and as well as development, skill development. And so we believe those are the keys to make an athlete the best that they can be, giving them every resource, every tool to be successful. And that's what our league is about, really honing with the fundamentals of football, techniques, which is key with us, so that the product on the field is at a higher level.
Where'd you go to high school?
I'm Milwaukee Tech, class of 96.
There you go. Yeah, it's proud Trojan,
yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Hey, same question, Evan, for you, kind of the Reader's Digest on what you guys do with NCSL.
Basically very similar. We're talking about building character in kids as a safe alternative to the neighborhood and the things that are going on in the neighborhood. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Do the kids have to come? Is there a certain boundaries for your leagues on where they need to come from, or is it just City of Milwaukee or anywhere?
They come from all over, and so all of our teams pretty much practice at our local parks, and so they're spread out all through over the city on the north side.
Guys, again, I have a very small sampling of this because it was just last fall is my only experience with youth football in Milwaukee, but how many leagues exist? There's a number of other leagues, correct?
Yes, I believe there's our league.
St. Bernadette is still out there. Journey House is out there. MPS has a league. So there's probably four or five leagues, as well as a couple teams that travel and do some other things as well. So
do you ever have meetings between like yourselves and other heads of leagues? Do you guys ever get together and talk about, you know, all the different things that are going on? Is there any? Because I know both of you are involved at the state level with the new proposed state youth football association. You know, they're going to combine, you know, and get ideas, schools, or not schools, but leagues together having some uniformity. Has there been an attempt in Milwaukee to do that kind of thing?
Yes, we've been doing that for a number of years. We have a strong relationship with Charles Brown of the Journey House. So we are looking to connect. We do connect with MPS as well. Our major program, ages 12 to 14, also plays under that league. So we try to connect, try to bring the resources together as much as possible to make our league that much stronger.
Yeah, that's hard. How do you find coaches?
Most of our coaches are probably parents, mostly parents that just have a passion, have boys that are around that age, and they've taken the whole boat not to just focus on those kids, but to take on a group of kids, and they're catching kids from all over the cities, from gas stations to, you know, wherever we can run into kids, grocery stores, you know, wherever you can catch kids, that's where we're getting them from.
Edward, same thing?
Yeah, same thing. And we normally have coaches meeting throughout the whole year, talking about the state of football, our league, and what we want to accomplish. So we spend a lot of time and resources on coaches development, going through classes, seminars, so they are educated. And so a lot of these coaches are, like we have a coach, Corn, Bruce C.D. Packers. He's now coach with Washington football program. So we have a number of parents who were parents, learned how to coach, and now they're expanding out into the high school area arenas. So it's a great accomplishment for the program.
You know what, Mike, when I watched games last fall, I was struck by, you know, looking at the offenses being run and things. You know, I mean, it's like high level. It's spread. It's throwing the ball. It's, you know, it's doing all the things that you would think, you know, that most high schools are trying to emulate now. I mean, it was, and I went to some practices where I just watched. All I did was watch. And there's a lot of coaching going on. There's no question about it.
We're talking with Ed Easley's with Students with Academic Greatness. It's SWAG is the name of that sports club. And Evan Kern, the Chief Executive Officer for NCSL Neighborhood Children's Sports League. Evan, what keeps you up at night with this league? Is there anything that boy, you know what, I've been thinking about this and worrying about this for a month now and can't seem to get it. What keeps you up?
I think the transition piece that we talked about earlier is something that, for a minute I had to kind of stop myself because I was seeing our work just kind of fall by the wayside. Like you said, when you see kids you've worked with for 3 or 4 years, you know, basically just leave football in its entirety. And like I said, I'm a guy that football took me a long way. It showed me a lot about life, and so I wanted those guys to experience that same thing. But when they just kind of stop playing, it definitely kind of hurt. It hurts a little bit as a former coach.
And especially if you find out what's the reason they stopped playing. Do you know? Because that gets to be frustrating. If it's just that they didn't have a love for the game and didn't want to play at the high school level, we all get that. Okay, no worries with that. But if it's because, look, I went to the high school, I didn't know the coach, nobody really told me about it, and all of a sudden now I'm a sophomore, I missed all of last year, and now I'm done. If it's the administration part of it and that the not being coordinated part, that's the part that must drive you nuts.
Well, that's a piece that I think we're thinking about. What do we have control over? And I think it's coming up with a system where we can follow where our kids are going. Right now, a lot of kids leave us, and we don't know where they go. And so we may not see them for 2 or 3 years, you know, and then we find out that they're not playing. But what we can do is kind of try to track them and figure out where they're going. And again, just follow up on all those relationships.
I think that'd be a great idea. And I think that that's maybe the missing step in all this thing. Ed, what keeps you up at night?
No, for me, it's the disconnect, as we've been talking about earlier, trying to figure out how to take our lead and connect with the high school level. And that right now, that is our main focus, how to make that transition. Because when we have kids in our league who love our coaches, staff, they love the atmosphere. But then when they transition to the high school, if they don't feel that same connection, it cuts. They'll find other things to do with their time. Well, maybe football is great at the youth level, but I don't know about the high school level. I think I'm just going to do something else. And now those athletes that we lose in that transitional period.
Yeah, and I have to tell you guys, I was so looking forward to working with you. Seriously, I mean, I just was so looking forward to that, and I'm sorry that it's not going to happen. You know,
well,
I feel bad about that.
It's not as your role as a guy, a head coach at Milwaukee Tech, but trust me, he's always available, and he knows everybody. and so if you ever put this thing together and how to keep that next step, he'd be a great guy for you to call and ask. Because, again, he's getting calls from Dan Brunner and all these guys during the show that he can't talk to us during the break. But he's got everybody lined up. Other than being a Marquette High guy, he's not bad. Sorry about that. I had to give you. I'm a Messmer guy, so you trust me. There's a lot of problems with that. Hey, I really appreciate you guys coming
thank
in.
Thank you so much for coming in.
You know what? Keep up the good work. Keep up the fight. Man, don't – I know there are times, like you said, you know, you think – look at all this work we're doing for not, but these kids you're changing, and these kids you're having such an impact on their life, not only because we're, you know, you're good mentors to them, but the game of football teaches a lot about life, boys. So thank you. It's good to see you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're
going
to get
much
to a break. Other side of the break, Todd Kibbe. He is with Visas.
Vices.
Why? You just Vices. Say it.
Vices. Vices helmets.
You know, Jeff laughs at me all the time because I'm telling you with that. Vices. And I have it written down right here, Vices, and how it should sound. Big time helmet company.
Oh, yeah.
3 years in a row, the safest helmet, and now a sponsor with WFCA.
Yes, they are.
That's awesome. We'll talk to him three times again. Top-ranked helmet, and they think for years to come they will have that award. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Well, welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented, as always, by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is Tom Swiddle, past president of the WFCA and Hall of Fame member with the WFCA as well. You know, Tom, before we get to our next guest, when you talk about guys like Ed Easley and Evan Kern, they're doing good things and really working hard in the city of Milwaukee to introduce football and have kids fall in love with the game that they love. And they're doing things for the right reason. And I think that one step is missing.
I agree. And you just caught us having a meeting in the hallway, and we threw some ideas around. So we're going to get going and see what we can do to bridge that gap between the youth programs and high school.
Yeah, I hope that you'll help them because, I those are two good guys.
They are.
And they've been doing it for a while, and they're city of Milwaukee guys. When you talk to a guy like Evan who said, look, I came back. This is where I played. And I came back to give back to this league and this sport that I love so much. and doing it the way he's doing it, I hope that I hope you guys are successful with that.
Hey,
our next guest, he handles Southeast Wisconsin for Vices, which is a great helmet company.
Well, boy, is it ever!
And they are a sponsor of the WFCA, and very happy to have Todd Kibbe on from Vices. He's manager and a key account in Southeast Wisconsin. Todd, how you been?
I am fantastic, gentlemen. Thank you so much for the opportunity to let us tell a little bit about our story to the good folks of Wisconsin. Man, we're making some great inroads in the state, and with our helmet, the Vices 01. We are really taking off and excited about kind of taking on what you just talked about, you know, like the city leagues that you have, the youth programs, the high school programs. We've got answers for a lot of those questions that are out there for the folks in Wisconsin.
And Todd, you know what, more than ever before, and the reason this show started a number of years ago, Tom came in the studio and said, look, I believe, and there's a lot of guys like me that believe that football has never been safer to play. But when, you know, at that point, we had a president who said, if I had a son, I would never let him play football. And we need to tell a different story at this point, because with all the training and certainly some of the equipment like yours, football has never been safer. Look, it's a fast, violent contact sport. So there are going to be injuries. But if you look at other sports that nobody ever talks about, you know, there are sports out there that people never think about when they talk about injuries that have far more injuries than football. And when a company like yours comes around and has been top-ranked 3 years running for the best and safest helmet in football at all levels, I think it's important that we listen to how you guys are doing it and why you're doing it.
Well, thanks for the opportunity again. And we couldn't be in more sync with what you're talking about, Mike, is the you know our motto is protect the athlete, elevate the game. We know that the coaches are out there doing things what they need to do to make the game safer, to teach it in a different way than it was taught when I was playing and you were playing. That's many, many moons ago. But we've come into this. Vices has only been around for about 4 years, and our founders really don't have a conventional sporting good background. Our trio of Dr. Pierre Reinhold, I'll just give you a little background on how we came about and why we're doing what we're doing. Dr. Pierre Reinhold is the chairman of the University of Washington's Mechanical Engineering Department and the founding director of the Boeing Advanced Research Center. Our CEO, Dave Marver, is an experienced CEO in the medical device industry, spending quite a bit of time with Medtronic. And Dr. Sam Broud is a pediatric neurosurgeon and medical director of the Seattle Children's Sports Concussion Program. He's the director of the Sports Institute of the University of Washington and also an NFL unaffiliated neurological consultant. Now, that's a mouthful, but those three guys really had the idea 4 years ago, how do we make this game safer? How do we make it better, and how can we do it from the, you know, protecting the head? And that's where we've come in. And as you said so kindly, 3 years running, we're the top-ranked helmet for the third year in a row for the NFL and the NFL Players Association testing. And the 01 helmet is the highest-ranked five-star helmet under 5 pounds in Virginia Tech's star helmet rankings. So we are doing our part, where we think we're doing our part or giving our part back to football, in trying to save the game by looking at head health and trying to do what we can do to have an impact at that level.
Hey, to go see what we're talking about, if you want to go to their website, it's vices.com. It's V-I-C-I-S. And maybe on those three guys you talked about on your board, you know, maybe you should have had one of those guys be kind of smart. You know, and maybe, oh, geez.
Yeah, you know, they don't let guys like me in there.
No, trust me. Me, you, and Swiddle would not be on that board.
No. But what they do is they've gone out and they've solicited a lot of information. They've got, and again, we're a four-year-old company, mind you. By the way, one of the benefits of being a four-year-old company, and you don't think about this too often, our helmet is different than any other helmet on the market. The design reduces the impact forces by yielding in a collision, similar to a car bumper, today's car bumper. The concept is so unique that the helmet was named one of Time Magazine's top 25 inventions in 2017. Now, you and I and Tom there did not think of a football helmet as something to be invented, right?
No.
It's just something you put on and you go out and you play. Well, you know, this is where we're coming from. We've solicited information from current players, from former players. We talked to the medical industry. We've talked to the trainers for pro and collegiate programs. We tried to get everybody we could, and we had a lot of good. We have some interesting names who are our investors, including the likes of a couple of guys that may resonate well in Wisconsin. Well, Russell Wilson is one of our Alex Smith and Doug Baldwin. Knew I would do that.
That's all right.
Along now with Aaron Rodgers coming along, are now investors in Visus and 01 and our 01 youth football helmet, which is even it's ranked the best helmet period in Virginia Tech's ranking. So we've got some smart guys that have thought about making something different, have enlisted, you know, the right people in both the current players. We also have the likes of Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett, more of my era, my heroes that are part of the Visus family. So we've got a really good thing going here, and it's all about protecting the athlete.
And, you know, Todd, I kind of saw this in action in a way. You had a table at our combine last mm-hmm. April, and, you know, the combine, you know, you don't think about going to the combine and buying a helmet, right? I mean, that's, you know, not the purpose of it.
Why not?
Well,
now, why not?
Well, true. But all I know is that you guys had a table there and you sold a bunch of helmets that day. You know, parents talked to Clint, and I don't know if you were there or not, Todd, to be honest. But, you know, whoever was there manning the booth for Visus did such a great job. And you know, in talking with Clint Brightman, who's also another representative from Visus, that you guys sold a lot of helmets. And, you know, the word is getting out. I mean, people are aware of what you guys are doing and what you have done.
I tell coaches that, that, you know, if parents are coming to coaches these days, you know, they want to protect their sons and daughters. They see in a Google search in 5 seconds, you put in helmet performance, and lo and behold, that drop test is going to show up, and it's going to show our helmet on one side, and it's going to show our competition's helmet on another side, and it looks different. And if parents aren't informed about, you know, the options that are available to them, i.e., you know, a three-time top-rated helmet by the NFL and the Players Association, top-ranked in Virginia Tech, then they're going to start asking some questions. So, you know, we're trying to get in front of this. Clint was at that at the combine. I was at a different one, unfortunately. I couldn't make it to that one. We're trying to get the word out as much as possible. And we think if we can get it into the hands of people so that, they, like you're saying, at a combine, you don't think about buying a football helmet. Well, that's, you know, we're kind of flipping the script, and we're going to be there. We're going to be at, you know, the All-Star game. We're going to be at, you know, some of the events at the WFCA, which we're ecstatic about being at. So we can just do just that, have that touch, have that feel, see the difference. You can actually push our helmet in with a thumb, and people are like, wow, that doesn't look – that's not what I have expected. Well, we've got a certainly – we've got a 21st century helmet when everyone else is working off of 20th century type designs and lack of innovation, a polycarbonate versus what we have as a polymer. It gives, it's different. And when people start seeing it and start thinking in terms of head health and how we can protect the brain differently than what is out there, we're starting to see a lot of Wisconsin schools have been joined last year, and we're seeing quite a few more this year as well.
He is Todd Kibbe. He is the manager key accounts for Southeast Wisconsin with Visus. Go to Visus MedTronic.com. And we're talking staying healthy while you're playing football with what is has become a big deal in the world of football. They are the top-ranked 3 years running, the best helmet throughout the country. And they're doing it in a different way. And go to their website. It's a really interesting website. I spent a lot of time on it this morning. And I would highly recommend, if you're a parent, a coach, a player, administrator to some of these schools, that check this out. And there's you can certainly find Todd on that website and get a hold of Todd. He handles Southeast Wisconsin for this company. We're going to hold him over for another segment. This is the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Show. As always, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He's Tom Swiddle. Tom, I love talking. Anytime we can talk about football,
yeah.
In this segment, this whole show's been great. We go from who's been inducted to the Hall of Fame to two guys that are trying to make a big difference in the city of Milwaukee to a guy like this who's trying to make a difference throughout the country and keeping our kids safe when they play a sport that we love. And the fact that Vice has been doing that now for year four, I think is really impressive. Hey, Todd, can we get your background a little bit? Are you a Wisconsin guy, a Chicago guy?
Yeah, I'm a Chicago guy. I got to play up through the high school level, but I've stayed around high school football. I do a little bit of broadcasting myself in Northwest Indiana. I've been with a little outlet called the Regional Radio Sports Network, where we cover Friday Night Lights on for the past 25 years in the region and north central Indiana. So I've always had my passion has always been football, high school football specifically.
That's awesome.
Because I think kids have to deal with all kinds of things, grades, acne, coaches, you name it. At that level, but on Friday night they get to go out there and play. I remember that specifically. But I've also been a sales professional for about 30 years, in and around the greater Chicagoland area. And so when this, I followed Vices for about a year to try to get this job, and there wasn't an opportunity there. Timing was everything. And lo and behold, last November the opportunity came up, and I jumped on it. So I've been fortunate enough to work with Clint. We've split the state in half. He basically has the northern portion, and I get the southern half of the state. And we have had a lot of great activities that's going on. And again, it gets down to if I can get a helmet on a kid, that's what I'm trying to do, just to make an impact with that, to that individual level, because it means so much to me and to us as a company. That's why we got into this, is, again, protecting the athlete.
So, Todd, Mike is on Thursday Night Lights here in Southeast Wisconsin with a television broadcast.
I'm the sideline reporter, Todd. They couldn't afford a good-looking girl, so they got me. That's the way that worked.
I've got the looks for radio. That's where, I am staying up in the booth, and they don't even get anywhere near a video camera with me. So.
Todd, we're so excited, the WFCA, to be working with Vices. I mean, you're the kind of partner that we really want to work with, with your product and what you're doing for the game. And I mean, there's plenty of coaches in our state already know about Vices, but the fact that, now with all the different things you're going to be doing with us, certainly the Vices name is going to spread rather quickly, I think, throughout the state of Wisconsin.
We are very excited to partner with the WSCA. And, I attribute that all to Clint. As I was trying to get a job with Vices, Clint was working with Vices, and he'd made quite a bit of those inroads. So now to have that partnership come to fruition, we're extremely excited. We're trying to take, our road show on the road, to wherever the people will listen, to be completely honest. We like talking about the helmet and its construct, the load shell being, it absorbs impact by deforming locally, wherever that hit takes place. The next layer in, we just love to talk about the reflex liner system. It's the columnar structure that mitigates impact forces throughout the helmet. That's what's different about our helmet, guys. We don't have any air in our helmet other than what's blowing through in the breeze. We like to fit our helmets and forget it. And again, with this partnership with the WFCA, we truly believe that we're going to be able to spread that word wide and broad and have an impact like we've had, you know, for the past year in many programs throughout the state.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten, Todd? Obviously, coaches have gotten back to you, parents, and yeah. You know, what kind of feedback are you getting from, you know, individuals that have worn your helmet?
So can I quote Coach Larson out of Somerset High School?
You sure can.
Okay?
We know Bruce Larson very well on this show.
You know him well. Excellent. Well, we have him as one of our testimonials, and his quote is, "I know the 01 is making a difference because I see it on the field. Our fullback got absolutely blasted head-on by a linebacker. Everyone thought he was done. The kid came back to the sidelines. The first thing he said was, good thing for this helmet, and went back in." That's the kind of feedback that we're getting. You know, hit, as you said earlier, Mike, you know, football is a violent game. That's not ever going to change. But to come and move into the 21st century with ways of teaching the game to be a little bit safer, to be more safer, and with equipment that can do that. Oh, and by the way, you know, what the parents are responding to. I got a kid from, they said, "My son received his new 01 today after wearing a school issued helmet for the past couple of weeks. I picked him up from practice and asked how he liked his new helmet. With a big smile, he said, 'Mom, this is the Versace of helmets. It's really comfortable.'"
That's perfect. You guys can use that line, man. It's a marketing line right there.
That's exactly it. So we're getting great feedback, and we did a postseason summary survey last year, you know, in the 90% on comfort for both individuals, teams, and full teams and partial teams that made the switch. Visibility is a huge thing with us. We're building a new helmet. You know, the guys thought, well, what other performance enhancements can we do? We'll cut the eyesight back so you can see more of the helmet, you can have more vision, 13 degrees more left and right from a peripheral vision. That staves off all kinds of things, injuries, see the field better. Just, you know, we've thought it through, and all this R&D brings us to the one and only product that we have. The device is 01. Do you guys know why we call it the 01?
We do not.
All right. So it started with a clean sheet of paper with those three gentlemen that I talked about earlier, our trio of leadership. It started with a clean sheet of paper. We went from ground zero, and it's our one and only product. We don't have a whole catalog that we can rely on. This is what we got. Devices
01. Todd, thank you so much. Todd Kibbe again.
Thanks, Todd. I look forward to seeing you at the All-Star game.
Key counts guy. Vices, go to VICIS.com. Man, great show today, Thomas. Thank you,
Mike. Thanks for your help.
Well done. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.